Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
It is a privilege to be here today and to be able to preach and share God's word with you, so I do thank you for the opportunity to do so. I want to talk to you today about the gift, a gift that was given to Jesus, and I want to share some gifts that have been special to me. Now, these gifts don't have much value at all, but it's the people who they came from. This is a gold treasure chest made from Chandler. And I know it's Chandler because everything is symmetrical and lined up even. He gave me that, I think, one time for my birthday. This is a ring made of copper. When Jim was in physics class, his senior year, he was supposed to be doing a lab with this copper wire. He made me a ring. I don't know what grade he got on that lab, but yes, I still have it. This was given to me. Jared bought this at the Santa shop. I wonder how many carrots, ladies, that is. Talk about some bling, right? This is made of clay. I believe Chandler is the artist. You're thinking, I hope her kids are good at music, right? They are. That's the good news. This was from Ashley and Chandler. Guess what the top is made of? Macaroni. They made macaroni and then they sprayed it with gold paint. It has a bracelet in here that says Mom. It has these wonderful earrings that gave me an infection in my ears, but I wore them anyway because they were from my children. We have a snowman, a purse, because they know what their mama likes, and a few more bracelets. Now, this one really hurt. Do you see how tiny that is? I think that cut the blood off when I wore this, but I wore it because it was from my kids. Now, I've saved the best for last. I want you to think about this. This is a necklace with the letter E. My name is Tanya Ann Retcher Kelly. This is an E. And I'm opening it up because their good daddy Jim took them Christmas shopping. And I'm thinking, why did he let her get an E? I'm going to be wearing an E, and people are going to say, what's the E stand for? I don't know. So I'm thinking, you know, if like find it in a T. He said she was set on buying you the E. I'm going to come back to the E at the end of my sermon. There was a lady who gave Jesus a spectacular gift. If you have your Bibles, would you please turn to John chapter 12? I'm going to be reading verse 1 through 8. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner party was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, a keeper of the money bag. He used to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Mary gave her best. She gave her best in one lavish gesture. I believe she gave a little recklessly, and she gave with abandon. No other person is it written. In Mark 14:9, it says, "I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Jesus appreciated it so much. He not only thanked her that day, he said, "Wherever the gospel is told, the gift that she gave me today will be remembered." You see, Jesus was returning to Bethany to celebrate the Passover. He was surrounded by friends. The other gospels tell us that he was at the house of Simon, even though John doesn't mention that. He was at the house of Simon, Simon the leper, who was just Simon now. Get that? Simon the leper. What if we were referred to by our infirmities? I wouldn't like that so much. Tanya, the Graves' disease, right? Sue, the torn meniscus. So-and-so, the diabetes. Sorry, is that personal? Yeah, I just threw a name out there. Yes. Imagine being, that's who we are. Every time when they go to Simon, they called him Simon the leper. Well, Jesus healed him, praise God. He took away his infirmity, and he was no longer, "Hey, I'm going to Simon the leper's house. Hey, I'm just going to Simon's house today." He was a leper no more. Jesus gave him his life back. I was going to say, imagine what it feels like to be in quarantine. We don't have to imagine that so much anymore. But there's one thing we do have to imagine. Imagine not being touched in any capacity. Do you know that in the 1800s, they experimented on orphaned infants, and they experimented on them, they fed them, and they changed them, and they did not touch them. They laid in their cribs, and do you know what happened to babies in the 1800s that were not touched? They died. God made us to be touched and to be loved and to be in relationship. Simon couldn't touch. You ever just had someone walk by and pinch you on the shoulder, just tap you, and you just, it's just kind of that little boost, like, you've got this. And then there's those touches where you just collapse in somebody's arms. And you think, if I just stay here for a little while after this hug, I'll be okay. Simon was not allowed to be touched, but now he was. So Simon was at the table. Lazarus was at the table. Lazarus the dead. Do you see where we're going with this? I wonder if somebody stopped back and thought, look at these guests. Wow, this is quite the party. Lazarus should have not been with them. also, they were all gathered, and the Pharisees said that Jesus was a wanted man. And because he was a wanted man, he was a criminal. They took a chance of gathering, inviting him into their home, a criminal. They could have all been arrested. You say, why did they do this? Oh, they loved Jesus. Why did they take a chance? They loved Jesus. They knew who they were when Jesus found them. Even if you have been a church kid all your life, do you remember who you were when Jesus found you? I am not today who I would have been if I hadn't met a Savior. Yes, even at 7 years old. And don't judge, it took at seven. And maybe you lived most of your life in the world, and then Jesus found you. Are you grateful beyond measure so that you would invite Jesus to your house? He didn't count the cost. His gratitude gave him the courage to do. In the next week, Jesus would find himself not at houses that were hospitable. He would find himself at the high priest and at Herod and at Pilate. So I kind of think, and this isn't in scripture, but I wonder if when he was at those places where he was being judged and condemned, if he was remembering that time with family around the table. And I don't think they were related, but they were family around the table. You see, church, we need each other. We need to be family around the table. And by the way, we can do that with spaghetti and support the youth. The dinner party is underway. And Martha, guess what Martha's doing, everyone? She's serving. That's what Martha does. She was good at it. She's serving. And Mary took an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. She broke the flask because that's how you had to open it. And she began to pour it from Jesus' head all the way down to his feet. Mary knew the value of what she had. It was 1 pound of pure nard. It was from a plant grown in India. And it was the most expensive perfume that they had. At that time, it was not a substitute. It was not a knockoff. And I kind of like a good substitute every once in a while. But not for Jesus. Not for Jesus. It was a Jewish custom to anoint the head at the Passover. But Mary didn't stop. She just kept pouring as if it was water. She poured in a fashion that it was so messy. She cleaned it up with her hair because she knew what it was to sit at the feet of Jesus. She knew what it was to have a brother be taken from her and then given back to her. Out of her gratitude, out of her love, she responded. It wasn't impulse. She took that perfume from her house all the way to Simon's house. She had planned on giving the gift to Jesus. You see, she had already given her heart, but she wanted to show how much she appreciated him and to show her love. And then the fragrance filled the room. And I kind of picture everybody just having their own conversations and then they start to smell the perfume. I came from my mom was a fry and my dad's a retcher. And I'm telling you, even as a kid, I noticed this. All the retchers would get together and we would sit in a room and people would take turns talking and sharing. And then there would be quiet moments in between. When we got together at the Fry house, everybody talked at the same time. I don't even know who heard anyone. And when somebody had the best story to tell, they just spoke loudest. And then we would listen to that. So they start to smell this perfume. And then everyone's eyes look at Mary and Jesus. And they notice what it is she's doing. Oh, the sting of criticism. This was with the church people, this group. This was the church people. The sting of criticism. Have you ever felt like God put something on your heart and you have to have courage to even do it? And then when you step out in that courage, you just think everybody's going to be just as excited as you are. Anybody been there? And in an instant, this money should have been given to the poor. Judas saw nothing good that Mary was doing for Jesus. And I can almost feel Mary shrinking away. Oh, should I have done this? This was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have. What was I thinking? But then Jesus speaks. Love it when Jesus speaks. He said, "Leave her alone." Anybody ever defended you when you needed defended? And someone said, "You're wrong." I remember at school one time being told off really, really bad. And I went home and it just was hard. And I found out the next day that one of the other teachers went to my boss and said, "This is what happened, and it shouldn't have happened. And you need to protect Tanya in this situation." And I thought, you know, work happens. Things like that happens. But I was so grateful that I was defended by the other teacher. And that person didn't even tell me he defended me. He just wanted the real story to take place. Jesus said what she did was beautiful, and she did what she could, and she prepared me for my burial. I've often thought about this. Jesus dropped lines about his death and his burial and his grave, and why didn't the disciples hear it? Would I have heard it? I have no idea. Would you have heard it? We don't know. Like, what made it so hard that they didn't? Maybe we just believe what we want to hear because the truth is just really hard sometimes. But maybe Mary believed it because she spent so much time in his presence. And if you and I want to hear, then we have to spend a lot of time in his presence, because there's going to be a lot of noise that comes our way outside of what God, even church noise sometimes, interferes with what God wants. And Jesus said, she did this for my burial. She was the only one that believed that that was going to happen to Jesus. What is the purpose of perfume? Smells good, right? What good does your perfume do if you never use it and it just sets in that bottle decade after decade? Doesn't do anyone any good. Now, if you're a toy collector, I'm sorry about this, but sometimes someone would give a gift to my child and say, "Don't take it out of the box." And I would think, a toy is to make a child happy, and it's no fun to play with a toy inside a box. Okay? So if you collect toys, that's fine. But we didn't at my house. We just opened them up and played with them. The purpose of the toy is to be played with. The purpose of the perfume was to make a pleasing aroma. And Jesus wasn't about. I think Jesus let Judas get away with a lot of things in hopes that he would change, but there was no way that Jesus was going to allow Judas to get away with this. And I can see Mary just kind of straightening up well before she had shrunk back, thinking, "I listened. I did what God wanted me to do." Mary gave from her heart. Mary gave from her heart. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. What, church, what does the Lord look at? The heart. And there are things that you will do that are good because they come out of your good heart. And on that day in Bethany, Mary revealed her heart, and it was beautiful, and it was grateful to Jesus, her Savior. Judas also revealed his heart that day. Don't be the one that maybe interferes with what God has ordained. And I'm talking to myself as well. Maybe sometimes you and I need to be quiet about our opinion until we've spent time with Jesus. Because I know my words are better after I've talked with him. Put good things into your heart. The worth of any gift depends on its motive. You know why this E is one of my favorite all-time gifts? I have a little girl she's not little. I have an adult girl who still, her love language is gift. And she is a gift giver. She will listen to what you say and then remember it. And she'll spend hours making stuff. When my sister turned 50, she stayed up till 3 in the morning making things for Tammy. She is the gift giver. When I opened my E and I was looking at Jim like, oh, come on, hon. She came over and she said, Mom, look, your two favorite colors, yellow and burgundy. And Mom, did you see it's also your favorite flower, which is a rose? I don't care what letter this is. My little girl knew my two favorite colors and my favorite flower. It's the motive behind the gift. When we give out of love, we give our very best, and it's beautiful. And Jesus himself said, nobody's going to forget today what she did with me. Give with abandon. Give with abandon. You know, a few days after that, Jesus opened both arms. Just a few days after this, he gave with abandon. He gave everything he had on a cross for little old me and little old you. And I'm so glad that he knew the value of a gift. And I'm so glad that I have the opportunity to serve him and know him and love him and to be forgiven. Church, accept this gift of love. The next few months might be really hard. Might be really hard. Church, let's love Jesus through this. Let's take his hand and let's remember that he gave it all. And church, let's love each other through this. If you are thinking, should I give this or should I give this? Give it. I have been at the side of people when they've went to heaven and no one has ever said, oh, I loved too much. I was just too nice. I wish I wouldn't have given so many gifts. No one ever says that. If God is prompting you to give as Mary did, it can be tangible, it can be intangible. Please give and shower people with love. This world is a sad place. And I think it's time to pour and lavish love on those around us. You say they don't deserve it. I don't care. Neither did I. And God loved me anyway. Love, whether it's deserved or not, and whether it's received or not. Because, church, that's what our beautiful, beautiful Savior did for us. God, we just thank you. I'm just so thankful you said, leave her alone. I think there's some people in here today that need to hear you say, leave him alone, leave her alone, because they belong to me. God, may we not hold back where you are concerned, because you never hold back when it comes to us. We praise you and we love you, the most beautiful gift giver in the universe. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.